This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
What a weekend, and beginning of the weekend has been. Hope you are safe and well from whatever nook and cranny you hail from in this great country. So we've got lots of things to talk about, including the push to defund the police, not just in Minneapolis, but in other parts of the country, and the pushback to defunding the police. What does it mean, and why some people think it would be outrageous to do that, including the presumptive nominee for president on the Democratic side, Joe Biden, who came out hard against defunding the police. But there's been a big push for that to happen. I'll explain if you haven't heard. In Portland, we certainly have a great crowd of people that listen to this show in Portland, and I got a flurry of texts from all of you. Thank you for that. But we were well aware that the Portland police chief decided to resign, announcing that she was stepping down from her position because of the protests against police brutality. So after 6 months, adios, that was it. There was some controversy there. And instead, the acting captain of the Bureau's Community Service Division was named chief, and Chuck Lovell is the Bureau's fourth African-American police chief. And his appointment in the midst of the protests against police brutality and racial discrimination, of course, all related to the death of George Floyd. And we're seeing similar pushes that are happening in other places, which is why Portland comes up right at the top when we talk about this, because she said, look, this is the time for me to step back, and that's it. And he felt like it was the time for him to step up, although he said it was a shock for him. But as he said, when your boss comes to you and she says, the community needs you, the police bureau needs you, I felt like it was the time not to shrink and that I had to step up and do it. So this goes to that whole shakeup thing of where are people being moved around. And you look at the size of Portland, which is Oregon's largest city, and because of all of the criticism over what a lot of people called inappropriate force against some protesters, this was a move that she felt had to be made, and that she could feel the pressure, could feel the heat, and now they move forward to see how this goes. In the meantime, while all that's happening in Portland, there is a huge viewing for a public viewing for George Floyd, where people just came from every place that you can imagine. Anybody, people who just felt as though they had a connection to Floyd in some way, to pay their respects, I guess, is the way to put that. And hours and hours and hours and hours on end. He's originally from Houston, which is where he will be buried. And it was peaceful. It was peaceful, and there were people that left flowers and roses and talk to other people outside. So the good news is there, and I don't think I'm surprised by that, but that's the kind of final send-off, I guess, if you will, part of the final send-off that he's getting, because we've seen so many protests, of course, in the last 2 weeks since the death of George Floyd, and the 8-plus minutes that too many of us watched again and again, that video where he was choked to death. And the police officer is being held in on over $1 million plus, you know, bond for that. I mean, that's what his bail has been set at. So Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who kept his knee on Floyd's neck and changed our last 14 days and has changed the conversation For about close to 9 minutes, he's struggling to breathe, and we don't have to relive that because we know it. We know it, we hear it, and we saw it. And everybody, Republican, Democrat, no label, whatever, thought it was absurd, atrocious, outrageous, you know, name it whatever you want to name it. But, of course, he was formally charged with second-degree murder with intent, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. And that bail was over $1 million. So this in the week of those protests and all around the country, and then that memorial service in the meantime for Floyd starting off on Monday, the impact of his death really resonating and reverberating around the country, and the debate shifting from that arrest tactic that Chauvin used, which has been a hot button of debate as far as policing and that technique and the overhaul of that, and should there be an overhaul of it, and it was it appropriate to use it in that situation, all of the things that have come out of that, then there's been this push. Black Lives Matter protesters are calling on lawmakers to defund the police and are saying that the system is rigged. It's systemic racism in law enforcement. And so how do you change that? And defund the police is the cry in that direction, but it's one that many are pushing against, and others are saying, well, you just don't understand what it means to defund the police. And so I ask you, America, defund the police, reform the police. What is the answer? What is the answer to the conversation, to the questions that we're all begging to have answered? You can flip me your suggestions at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com, of course, 24/7, or jam on the phone lines if you're listening to my voice live, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Joe Biden said he doesn't support defunding the police. He said that, pretty clearly that the police should not be defunded. And when he was asked that question a couple of times, and he said he hears the grief, the frustration of the people calling out for change, and he wants to ensure that justice is done and we put a stop to the terrible pain, but not to defund the police. And, of course, the president's message is law and order is what is basically what he said, law and order. In a tweet, at Real Donald Trump, law and order, not defund and abolish the police. The radical left Democrats have gone crazy, is what his tweet said. And on 16th Street, in front of Lafayette Square, where Black Lives Matter, in big yellow letters, was painted out by the mayor of D.C., then somebody else put defund the police, tagged that on to it. And the question is, what now? What next? Where does this move? And what does it mean? And why do some people say, well, you just don't understand what defunding means and reform quite enough? We'll talk about that further throughout this hour. We're going to dig into the mailbag, among other things, so hang with us, everybody.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's dig in the mailbag. Dig in the mailbag.
Yes, we are in the mailbag. And once again, I love the applause. We are just slammed with mail. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. I love you guys when it comes to the email because I've never gotten as much emails. Big of the stations that I've been on, including the biggest in the U.S. out of New York City, never got this amount of email. And I know people listen at different times, which good on you. And I think some of that is why you're thoughtful, you're thinking about it, that kind of thing. And it is all over the map what we're going to talk about in this mailbag. So without further ado, this one is a layup. It's from Jake in Austin, and I haven't mentioned it yet, so perfect timing. Jake says, Kate, what's going on with COVID-19? I appreciate the fact that you're still all over the story. It seems like everyone has abandoned ship when it has come to the pandemic. I understand about the Floyd story and the outrage and all of that and the different angles, and some of them I agree with, some of I don't, but how many people have died in the U.S., and what's it looking like for the great state of Texas? Not good, because Texas, it has actually risen. There's more people testing. You know, that's part of the whole thing. As for overall deaths in the U.S., 113,000, 2 million confirmed cases. That's of 20 minutes ago. 531 people recovered from the COVID-19. Worldwide, I'm going to throw this in, 6.8 million confirmed, 397,000 deaths. 397,000 deaths. And, of course, the concern, Jake, to what you're saying, is the number of new cases, you know, where it's risen. And of course, there's others where it's flattened. In Texas, the numbers have increased significantly. If you look at the arrow of Texas, if we look at Texas, I'm going to do it right now. Texas confirmed cases of COVID, because I get the very latest every like hour it gets updated. The confirmed cases, 1,830 of deaths, rather, confirmed cases, 74,978, and unfortunately, the numbers have gone up of confirmed cases, and then deaths too, as well. You know, some places, depending on the county and where it is, it seems, you know, significantly low. You look at Collin County, they have 34 deaths, and this is the suburb, the county outside of Dallas, and 1,200 plus confirmed cases. The most are in the Houston area. The Houston area, the confirmed cases, almost 13,000 confirmed cases and 231 deaths. Next to that, it would be Dallas County, and that's 228 deaths. But it is an area on the rise compared to everybody else. And the start of this thing, when the tracking and tracing really got, really started to get going, it was relatively low with a couple of spikes, and then it went down again, and then it is spiked up. So, you know, it's smart to watch this, and the reason why is because what's working, what's not working, there's so much that we don't know about it, and it is taking a back burner to other stories. That's for sure. I mean, the two big things that we're talking about, and I say that's what this show is, what's happening in your backyard and mine, is COVID-19 and the George Floyd protests and your reaction to it, and how do you feel? All right, so speaking of that, I got this one from George listening to us in New Orleans, and he says, "Hey, Kate, I've been listening to you now since you've been on in Louisiana. I enjoy the show. I like the fact that you fill in the blanks, I guess I'll call it. That's what my wife says. But I saw a poll that said most of us feel, and I thought this was interesting, out of control." I don't know if you saw the same poll or not, but I think it was just released that most people think that things are not under control in the United States and that the economy and all that other sort of stuff is really down in the dumps. I don't necessarily think things are out of control. I think people are protesting. It's bubbled over because of some things that have happened in the past that were unjust and never made right, and the conversation wasn't made right. And by the way, I'm a Republican, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then, of course, COVID, misinformation, good information, and all over the board, what's happening there, to use your vernacular. All right, so I think you're referring to the NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that just 15% of voters think that things are under control and the economy is at its worst, and there is a sense of chaos and pessimism, economic pessimism, that we haven't had for a while, and that's pretty low. I mean, 15%. And of course, people have been holed up. Then all of the what happened with the pandemic spills over. The protests have been loud and proud and all over the country, from smaller places, even from places where you wouldn't expect it, which I think is phenomenal. There's all kinds of people coming together in some places where there's a place in Texas that was a stronghold of the Ku Klux Klan, and you had all kinds of people with different ethnic backgrounds that over the weekend came together and were having conversations and peaceful protests. So in my opinion, if Americans get together and they're trying to solve what has been a horrific piece of video that kicked all of this open, that took the life of a man, well, you know what, then more power to us if we can keep moving the conversation. Because I think what happens so often is a fire bubbles up, whatever it is, big, large, small, outrageous, and then it goes away. It bubbles back down. But I don't think any of this is bubbling back down. And some of that, maybe the chaos feels that way for people because of being really staying at home and sort of feeling locked up, too, because of COVID. That would have to have, I would think, an impact. I would think so, anyway. By the way, then I got this one from JoJo, who says, how about the Democrats taking a knee in a moment of silence? Did you see some of the video from that, and why didn't some of the Republicans join in there? Yeah, you had Nancy Pelosi, who named George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and then knelt for a moment of silence, and that silence was 8 minutes and 46 seconds, which was exactly the amount of time that it took for George Floyd to die. And of course, yeah, that was pumped out all over the place. And part of that is because there was a reform bill that House Democrats on Monday unveiled, a blueprint, they're calling it, for reforming policing policies and responding to the protests, calling for a change after Floyd's death. And that bill was led by Congressional Black Caucus Chair Karen Bass, and Kamala Harris was also on that, too. And part of that included reforms making it easier to sue police officers for misconduct in civil court and to prosecute them for criminal behavior. It would also eliminate the use of chokeholds and certain what they call no-knock warrants by police nationwide, and then give the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division subpoena power to investigate local police departments. That bill, and this is just a bill, but the bill would also mandate the use of body cameras, bans the transfer of certain military equipment to police departments, creates a national database disclosing the names of officers with a pattern of abuse, and it also eliminates the legal shield protecting police from lawsuits. So that would happen. And where this goes, where the bill goes, I don't know. But again, this is in the wake of what happened there, and that's what led to the 8 minutes and the 46 seconds of silence. And this is one thing that's been suggested on the Hill versus the cries for defund the police and what that would mean, defunding the police for so many areas. And it would look different in every area, and of course that would be local jurisdictions are talking about that, but the loudest one and the one that seems to have the most backing where it really could happen, and it has happened before, is in Minneapolis. It's happened before in Camden, New Jersey, and this could be another place where it becomes a reality. Some think that would be an absolute unmitigated disaster. Stay with us.
Not high with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25% to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John
Hunt. U.S. economy entered a recession at the end of February as the coronavirus struck the nation, according to a group of economists, ending the longest expansion on record. The economists said that the employment, income, and spending all peaked in February, then fell sharply after the viral outbreak shut down businesses across the country, marking the downturn after nearly 11 full years of economic growth. A committee with the National Bureau of Economic Research determines when a recession begins. It broadly defines a recession as a decline in economic activity that lasts more than a few months. For that reason, ENBER typically waits longer before making that determination. In the previous recession, the committee did not declare the economy was in recession until December 2008, a year after it actually had begun. But in this case, ENBER said the collapse in employment and incomes was so steep that it had to make a determination more quickly. This is USA Radio News. Retired General Colin Powell has decided on who he's voting for president, and USA's Tim Berg has the story.
Colin Powell has not voted for a Republican for president since George W. Bush back in 2004, so it came to no shock to many folks, as on CNN's State of the Union, Colin Powell says he'll be supporting former Vice President Joe Biden.
I'm very close to Joe Biden on a social matter and on a political matter. I've worked with him for 35, 40 years, and he is now the candidate, and I will be voting for him.
CrossFit CEO Greg Glassman apologized for an insensitive tweet about George Floyd, but that was a little too late for sports gear maker Reebok, which said it's ending its partnership with CrossFit following the tweet, while some gyms said they would end their affiliation with the workout brand. The issue started when the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation tweeted racism and discrimination are critical public health issues that demand urgent response. Glassman responded, "It's Floyd 19. This is USA Radio News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent. I am my own superintendent, and my star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what they may think of me. I'm happy, go lucky. They say that I'm plucky, contented, and carefree. I don't care. I don't care. If I do get a meet and Tony Stare, if I'm not successful, it won't be.
Oh, that's a good way to live. I don't care. Do what you do, right? All right, I like to call this odds and ends because, of course, there are all kinds of things that are going on. And I know that a heavy pull at us is obviously the protests, the reaction to Floyd, what's happening in your community, where do we go from here, the conversation, and, of course, COVID-19. You start to read some of the individual stories and you think, well, wait a second, I thought it was getting better. Then you read some of these individual stories of people, and it makes you shudder. It makes you shake. I'm not kidding. Boy, some of the stories that I've read from the Northeast, the people that had COVID-19 and just could not shake it, and the way that their death turned out, it would make you absolutely want to stay in until you were 100% positive that for you, you knew it was right to go out. All right, so we have seen more hospitalizations, and that's another thing to look at. So if we look at hospitalizations, On Monday, Texas set a record for hospitalizations with 1,935 patients. The previous record was a month before that, and that was 1,888 people. So that's obviously a big deal in how much that's changed. And we are in the state of Texas to phase three of reopening, and that's what the governor had the different phases. So phase three means doesn't require masks, but things aren't looking great. So does that get re-racked? Depends on those cases, I would say. Again, this is why you do have to pay attention. North Carolina had a new high in COVID-19-related hospitalization, 739. That's been shooting upward. They saw somewhere between 400 and 550 people hospitalized between mid-April and mid-May. So something to be aware of. I'll tell you about another one. California, for everything that Gavin Newsom has done in California, the governor, where some people want him out and think it's outrageous, and other people think he did a good job from the beginning and that helped. Los Angeles County has the highest number of cases in the state, but the number that they're worried about is, they say, not so much the hospitalization, because what they're looking at is the L.A. County Health Services Director is saying that effective transmission rate. So what does that mean? It means the average number of people one sick person infects is rising. So it used to just be like around three. And now they're seeing it is uptrending. That's not good. And because why? Because somebody's infected. And if they're just infecting one or two people is one thing. But if they're infecting more than that, then that becomes darker and darker, and that goes to the tracing, you know, where they're trying to trace where people went and where they were, who they were around, and that kind of stuff. And then Arizona, oh, my Arizona, largest week-to-week increase of coronavirus cases. The intensive care beds in Maricopa County, the state's most populous, totally full, no room at the end, 4,500 new cases from May 24th to May 30th. That's a 50% increase from the week before. Now, of course, tests were on the rise, and that would make a difference. So, again, another way and another reason to kind of keep an eye on that, and every place is different. I mean, New York City, they're easing out of their lockdown. There, more people are coming back into the city there, and yes, they're still practicing certain things, but the social distancing or whatever, but they're much more open, and that's slowly becoming what's happening, just depending on the area, how quickly they're doing it, how it's being phased in, you know, all that sort of stuff, because it's just not a one-size-fits-all kind of deal. That it doesn't work. For Arizona is different than New York City, and New York City is different than California. I mean, I don't have to school you on that. But it's good to pay attention to what I wanted to point out in odds and ends is paying attention to hospitalizations or paying attention to how much one person is spreading it or just looking at the pure factors of testing so that you can decide, you don't get a skewed number. And think, well, didn't I just hear that, why is that, why are they saying that? That doesn't make any sense. This way you can look at it through your own lens and know, okay, that makes sense to me why there's concern there or why there isn't concern because of the way they're looking at the way they're looking at the number. All right, more odds and ends. So, you know, something to talk about. The president, of course, running for re-election. There hasn't been a lot of talk about that because of the focus on so much else. But, you know, November will be here before we know it. Do you like my snap? Before we know it, it'll be here. You know how it goes. So as we wait and see, hold our breath, and we hope there's no second wave and all that. So the president said that they're going to start, or his people, said they're going to start MAGA campaign rallies in the next 2 weeks. That's what the campaign manager is saying anyway, that look, Americans are getting back to action, and so is the president. So the rallies are going to be out there. You're going to see crowds, enthusiasm, you know, that kind of thing. And then there was a jab at Biden saying you'll, again, see the kind of crowds and enthusiasm that sleepy Joe Biden can only dream of. They're still trying to determine where the rallies are going to take place, but they're planning it. At the White House, they're planning where the rallies are going to happen and, you know, trying to get the maximum amount of people that they can to come out, obviously, to the rallies. That's one thing that you obviously saw that worked so well with the president. I'm going to bounce back for a second to COVID and infections, because I think this is another thing that's important to look at, and this number popped out at me. Again, I always say you have to look at everything through your own lens, because while we are all fighting this monster, it's different in how it's showing up in different places. But the U.S. has been the most affected country. We know that with the amount of cases that I keep talking about every single show. But a recent study says that lockdowns have prevented about 60 million infections. Woohoo! How about a happy number? Woohoo! So according to the Washington Post, researchers looked at all this data from six countries and found that the anti-contagion policies had a big effect on reducing the number of COVID-19 cases. I mean, they really dove into these numbers and analyzed them. And the researchers say that in the early days of COVID-19 infections, the rate of growth was about 38% a day. And they found that the policies substantially slowed the growth. So you were staying at home, you were wearing your mask or whatever, you contributed to helping that. That's great that that helped knock that out, especially when you look at the amount of cases that probably, that would have been 60 million infections, right? Total infections, which would have been crazy, which would have been crazy, rather. In Italy, researchers noted that lockdowns prevented about 200,000 hospitalizations, reduced transmission of the virus by 45%. So we nailed the numbers that could have been so much higher, because people did, especially in the beginning, people really did stick to it and did not, didn't really go out that much and practice the social distancing. And it obviously worked according to the data anyway that they have in place. People are asking me about sports and when the NBA returns, what's that going to be like, and what's going to happen with baseball? And the answer to baseball is they're having some sticking points as to whether or not, you know, whether or not they're going to jump back into this or not. Major League Baseball offered a 76-game season, and then the playoffs would rise up to 16 teams, because there's been some complaints about that, but they're trying to figure this out. Players refuse cuts beyond what they agreed to in March because they don't want to have their prorated salaries cut as much as they're suggesting when the pandemic began. So that's part of that whole labor relations thing. It's always a rocky ship, and especially now. Will they open around the 4th of July, but it'll be empty ballparks? Will there be entertainment to the public that'll be coming out of the quarantine? Major League Baseball's latest proposal guarantees, check it out, 50% of players' prorated salaries over the regular season, and it would eliminate all free agent compensation for the first time since it started in 1976. It would forgive 20% of the $170 million in salaries already advanced to players during April and May. So we'll see if they can reach this agreement by midweek. If they do, then they can get cooking on this. If not, who knows what happens. So far, the players' union hasn't responded. They're looking at the plan, but they think it's a step back, I think, because of the large percentage of salaries not guaranteed. So, play ball, we may not hear that for a very long time, my friends. Make the final turn of this hour with me. God, come on, you can do it. under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
You know, so much we talk about in the pandemic, it's negative, right? Food prices have gone up. We've had salaries cut. 40 million people out of work. Now more people going back to work, reopening. There's the positive and the negative things that have happened. What's going on with the economy? But one thing that has been really, really good, and we just celebrated National Rescue Dog Day, is that more people have adopted pets or fostered pets, not just dogs, but cats as well, but especially dogs. And I was one of those people because so many of you have asked me, I did. I got a golden retriever with a little bit of Irish setter in him. His name is Guinness, and Guinness is 7 months old, and his bark sounds just like that. So I was one of, what do they think? Because, you know, they looked at the numbers, and the numbers just were through the roof, that people were just lining up for them, thousands and thousands, depending on where. Because there was a concern. There's been about 6.5 million dogs and cats that go into animal shelters every year, and that's according to the ASPCA. And then, sadly, I can't even talk about this, 1.5 million shelter animals get euthanized, but because so many people are stepping up, the four-legged companions of both varieties are getting adopted and fostered and, you know, all that kind of stuff. There was a concern about the coronavirus spread, that what would happen with people, one, that they would have pets and what would happen to the pets, but also could it be spread by dogs and cats? There have been a couple of weird, strange cases, two cats in New York and a pug in North Carolina, but no evidence, I just checked with a vet too, no evidence that pets can spread the novel coronavirus to humans. So that is really, really good, good news. And people coming forward to adopt or foster animals because spending so much time at home and maybe spending still so much time at home, even with reopening, a lot of jobs are going to partly staying more at home still, that's a really, really great thing. So there's the upside of what is a horrible, horrible situation, or has been for all of us. And here you go. Like I said, for me, it's Guinness, who wants lots and lots of attention and has lots and lots of energy. But that's what you get when you get a puppy, right? But otherwise, he still even there, he's really tremendous. So it's been a very, very good thing. All right, if you just tuned in, my name's Kate Delaney. Thanks for hanging with us. We're at the tail end of this hour. And as we traverse in a couple of different directions here and tidy things up, you know, we look at states reopening and some of the positives of that. Stocks closed higher. The NASDAQ Composite set a record on Monday, so that's good. There's been a rally. There's hopes of the rebound from the downturn from the coronavirus. And, you know, I say it all the time, it's like standing at the craps table no matter what's going on. But let's face it, lots of people have money in the stock market. You don't have to be a trillionaire to have that. You can have a 401k, you work for a company where they match it or whatever. So there is enthusiasm, I think, about the reopening, and that sent stocks higher, which is good. The broader S&P 500 climbed back within 4.5% of its own record with that optimism. So that's solid. Watching the stocks that would benefit the most from an economy that's growing again rose the most, including small companies, airlines, oil producers, because they would benefit the most. That would shoot up. That makes sense. And, of course, Friday, when there was the announcement that 2.5 million jobs were added to payrolls, that helped, too. Because they were expecting to see 8 million more lost and instead got that news, so that shot the numbers up. Because it totally rolls on what's positive and what's negative. And that's it. I mean, bottom line, negative news, negative or positivity, controls what happens on the market. In one way, it's infuriating, right? Because somebody who has a little bit of power or authority, I'll call it, or some cred, street cred in the financial arena, says something and it rocks it. And sometimes it rocks the boat when it doesn't have to. But anyway, those are good numbers. This is also interesting, and I think it points to what maybe some of you will do. If you're going to take a trip somewhere, it's probably going to be someplace close, because we're seeing that rentals for Airbnbs and that kind of thing are starting to happen. People are booking them, and that means to me that I think people feel more comfortable that way. So they saw a real surge in summer rentals, and one of the top destinations is in Texas, in a beach area, which is Port Aransas. And that's one of the top destinations, but not the only one. The Airbnb chief executive, Brian Chesky, I was looking at an interview with him, said, you know, they don't want to get on a plane. You don't necessarily want to get on a plane, but you're comfortable leaving the house and you want to go somewhere. So you're booking some nights someplace, maybe a little bit closer but someplace that's interesting, you know, that gets you away or takes you to with a different point of view, a beach or whatever. And so, like San Francisco, they're seeing an increase there. So probably people in California shooting up in that direction makes sense to me. It's funny because that's exactly what my brother said, my brother and sister-in-law, when they called me over the weekend. The NEF was supposed to come and visit for a while, and of course the whole idea is now they're going to drive. So drive instead of fly. And I think you'll see more of that probably than flying, although some flying has gotten back too. And then RVs, people renting RVs or buying RVs and saying that they are investing and trying to figure out how to separate their home life, and that what they could do is they could get an RV and they could rent it and use that as an office. So even in really high rent areas, some people are doing that. And instead of having to figure out, okay, what kind of an office space am I getting back into or what am I doing, I can lease an Airstream or I can own an Airstream and I can park it and but keep it close to the house, and yet I have a separation from my home life and from my work life. I just got to think that that would be like a, if you were a kid, wouldn't that be like the ultimate fort? If your dad had an Airstream, wouldn't you want to just crawl around in that Airstream? And I think it would be, I think it'd be tough to for the kids not to want to do that. But I get the separation of work and home life, and how when you're staying in that one space, after a while, it works for a while, works for a while, works for a while. People going in closets, try to get quiet, that kind of thing. And then you decide, okay, I need to do something else. And what is that something else going to be? But that's part of what the transition will be, I think, for people who design spaces, affordable spaces. I think that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to turn out to be, that there are going to be more shared workspaces. You might have missed National Donut Day. We had a huge discussion about this over the weekend. Are you a donut person or not? And, you know, you look at, I look at donut shops, and I started to realize this, just like Starbucks, in my neighborhood, there's one like every couple of blocks. There's big ones like Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kreme, which Krispy Kreme only has a select amount of storefronts, and then the local donut people that have their donut shops where, you know, they have sprinkles and eclairs and, you know, whatever. I know I'm weird, but I just like plain donuts. A cup of Joe and a plain donut for me. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for listening. Stay safe. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.